Log Talk Radio.
We're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
afternoon. As we inch closer to 1,500 shows, welcome to the Stir Fry. I'm your host, Mike Lewis Ingham, DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio and Raw, proudly sponsored by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. You get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now at www.BASNNewsroom, all one phrase, .com. Shout out to the Brother Man Network and our colleague Sonic Cheryl, who is still recuperating. Much love, sweetheart. And, well, the brethren shall commiserate for a bit of discussion. With me, as always, the bad man from the East Bay, Gary Norris Gray. What up, G?
What's happening? Gotta do it right. We gotta turn it off.
Looking for the definitive source for information? BlackAthlete.com, that's where it's at. From Jackie Robinson, Muhammad Ali, to Michael Jordan and Shaq, football, basketball, baseball, and everything in between. We focus on all the major players and stories. Daily features, video on demand, and Black Athlete newspapers coming to a city near you. Tired of the same old sports programming? Check out BlackAthlete.com. Sports the way you like it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, indeed. With me as well, or with us as well. Hold on, G, the other member of the MIG line is in effect. Tony McClain, what's up, T?
Can you hear me okay? Okay,
yeah.
I'm going to try another pair of headphones. Just give me a hold the line, please.
Okay, hold the line, please. Yes.
Okay, Michael, I have an issue here.
Okay.
Cam Newton is not playing football, correct?
That's correct.
Cam Newton is not taking the back seat, correct?
Well, I believe that is correct, actually.
Okay. Now, you have a guy in Green Bay, Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
12, and what he said 3 months ago is, I am inoculated.
He said he was immunized. Those were his exact words.
About our Caucasian brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Our Caucasian brothers and sisters play word games.
Yes, they do.
And Aaron Rodgers is an example of the word game. Now, Michael, if I ask you point blank, are you rising? You say yes or no, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Why are you playing word games? Because they can, and because they get away with it. That's why they do it.
Yeah, well, some would say that's white privilege. Some would say, when did Roger Clemens say he misremembered? Or whatever the fuck it is. The motherfucker lied. You know, it was like...
And see, my thing is this. As an African-American, I'm getting tired of the BS.
Yes, you got to be.
That's BS.
Right. Mm-hmm. It is BS.
Can you? I'm back, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah, better.
Okay. I'll send those other headphones back to eBay.
I heard that.
Okay.
But you know what, Gary? Now you said this before anybody else. Just as we were starting to chop this up, what's been the number one story this year?
It's a virus.
Exactly. And what was the number one story the year before?
The virus.
Yes. Okay. So we were talking about things being so morbid that one person could cause someone to die. Correct?
Yep.
Did we not speak on this?
Yep.
Absolutely.
We still have yet to hear of what really is a tragedy regarding that brother down in Virginia Union. They have not yet confirmed that he has died from complications due to COVID. But we know that Aaron Rodgers, whose talent I respect as a player, is a bitch-ass Typhoid Mary because he fucking lied. Black people have been put in jail. Hold on, G. Hold on. Wait a minute. I got to say this. Black people have been put in jail for less shit than this. You know, literally locked up and put behind bars behind the shit that he's done. Now, because he wasn't charged with anything, it's not perjury, but it is definitely first-degree assholery.
I like that.
Okay, see, first degree assholery because
that's a verb, by the way.
That is a verb. Yes, that is a verb. So we actually it is an adverb. I don't know, but anyway, but the point is, he deliberately did this. Because he thought that, okay, they asked me this, they'll leave me alone because I'm a star. And furthermore, as the cat said in the cartoon The Tale of Two Kitties, and furthermore, I'm white. So everything I say will be vilified, justified, verified, and every other five to go with that. And this is where...
I'll tell you something right now. Mm-hmm. Anybody on the Green Bay Packers get sick or die,
mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm going right to Aaron Rodgers and say, hey, buddy, hey, buddy, it's your fault.
You know what, why don't you just change that to win? You can just go ahead and change that to win.
Yeah.
I think it's just a matter of time that, you know,
I think Green Bay is sitting on a time bomb. It's gonna blow up.
Green Bay buried themselves with this because as soon as he said he was immunized. Well, you're white. We believe you. You're telling the truth. No one's going to press him, you know? No one's going to say, well, there's no way he could lie about something as serious as this, right? We know the depth of what COVID's done. We've seen over 700,000 motherfuckers die from this shit. But yet, nobody pressed him. Players Union didn't press him. Well, we know DeMaurice Smith and his invisible ass, he wasn't going to say anything. So... they didn't press him. But here's where it gets even worse. That motherfucker, Stephen A. Smith, also should be roasted and hoisted on his own petard for scumbaggery in the first degree.
The NFL told you at the beginning of the season, A, B, Z, or you gotta do A, get vaccinated. C, get tested every week. Or D, don't play. You got a choice.
Well, wait a minute, Gary. You just indicted them because if Aaron Rodgers had been immunized, they would have found out about it, right? Because Green Bay's testing everybody every day, right? So Green Bay laid down on the job, too, because they just said, well, their star is doing A, B, and C, so we ain't got to worry about him. And because he was producing on the field, that compounded it. Nobody would say shit. But let's get back to Stephen A. Smith and his scumbaggery, because Smith has been critical and has been a loudmouth schnook. Henry Hawk, thank you. Regarding his reactions on things, we know how he came after Kyrie. Yep, schnook. He came after Kyrie Irving. You know. Look. He came after. That's right. He came after Kwame Brown and was incorrect both times. And while Kyrie Irving has been very active in speaking his piece, at least it's his piece to speak. Mm-hmm. Things that he said regarding Kang mm-hmm. and all of that, they were done with his mindset, like, okay, this is what I'm going to be responsible for. And you can disagree with him, you have to question it. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And by the way, I think all of us owe him an incredible apology. I'm man enough to admit that. I think all of us owe him.
Right.
I mean, I still may not agree with it, but in light of what's going on, or in this case, what didn't go on down in
mm-hmm.
Cheesehead.
Yep.
And see, here's the thing, and you know, who else has been doing the State Farm discount of not.
Because
here's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because they couldn't get anything on Evander Kane, they basically used the Al Capone treatment. Said, "Well, he was used. Well, he didn't get vaccinated, or he faked like he was getting vaccinated. So we're suspending him for 21 games."
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Evander Kane faked an immunization card. And
yeah, that was the
there was other stuff he did, but this was at the core of making himself vulnerable to everybody and as well as the league players. So they suspended his ass. They hit him in the wallet where it matters most to people. And 21 games, he's still on suspension. It's going to be another 10 or 11 before he can get back with San Jose. And, of course, once he's there, it's a whole different attitude. But Stephen A. Smith, right, but Stephen A. Smith went out of his way to berate this cat. And we know Stephen A. Smith is full of shit because when he should have been jumping on Joe Paterno's son, he was sucking his dick.
Oh, we just want to ask you some questions.
The fuck out of here. And then Kyrie comes on, he's at least man enough to stand up for himself, whether you agree with him or not, and he tried to do a number on him. And then Kevin Durant, he literally said on public forum that he would destroy him, like he was the baddest nigga on the planet. And we know he was full of shit then, too. But at least he's been consistent.
Have you noticed how he kissy, baby, to LeBron James?
He's kissy, facey LeBron James because he, along with Skip Bayless, was down with that bullshit of trying to attack the cash cow.
Guys, I have a hard enough time sleeping most nights. Did you really kill the kissy, face with screaming ass with LeBron? I really would like to get, you know, my daily adult requirement of six to 7 hours of sleep a night. But if we're going to go,
he was kissy, face, all right, but he was doing something else. And he was kissing another part, if you don't mind my saying so.
I kind of do because, you know, I'm not one to be selfish, but I just kind of want to, I have a hard enough time sleeping nights, and then thinking of Screamin' A and LeBron kissing each other is just, you know.
Let me put Reggie in this. Reggie, what you got to say about this?
Gentlemen, just checked in. I'm in Covington, Virginia, high in the mountains, near that boom of West Virginia part of town. So you've had to repeat it because, you know, this reception here is bad up these hills, So looking at a face,
mm-hmm.
you know how that goes. Yeah, can y'all hear me okay?
Nah, I can hear you.
Yeah, like come up in the hills. But what was the question again? Because I could see it was going in and out.
Well, no. We're just talking about the fact that Aaron Rodgers lied, but because he's white, I guess it's a white lie. So
white
they decided that
buddy,
that's
don't
okay.
You forget it.
That's exactly
white
right. So Aaron Rodgers is being dismissed that he was playing pussy to people's lives because now he's COVID positive. So let's just say they just found out and he's been a couple of days positive. Who has he been around aside from his fellow teammates? Has he been around any other staff, maybe the kitchen people, you know, maybe folks who are just regular workers, minding their own business, doing their job? And if one of them gets COVID, and I'm not speculating just on happenstance here, if one of them gets COVID, then what? You've got a huge issue on your hands, especially if one is so compromised that their immune system gets sacked and that person dies.
Well, by the way, if one of those guys get COVID, anybody in that organization,
Anybody in that organization can go in from now on, number 12,
because
if I'm a lawyer, I'm going to ask him. But yes, be honest, guys, this is all about that. That's why people are so upset. Just tell it what it is. Look at the bet line, how it changed when the word was out there Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to play. NFL and FanDuel and them, and T-Mac pouring out, they got mug of money tied up to bet. How did Jimmy
Reed
make his name? Because of the so-called inside information he had with bet. And I can tell you this, with these degenerate bettors out here, it was a lot of hot people, boy, when they found out that Aaron Rodgers wasn't going. And what really pisses me off, he claimed that he wanted to use natural herbs and remedies rather than the science in order to look at treatments. Now, where have we heard that before? Now, I don't give a fuck about his politics, but what bothers me really with this situation, Lamar Jackson and a plethora of other players, including NBA players, my man that played for the Washington Wizards, a lot of guys are not vaccinated. Now, again, I don't know what the deal is up in New York, but they claim that the new administration, the mayor's saying we're going to keep everything in play, and screaming at Smith, of course, got a hard on for a certain guard that plays with the Jersey Nets. And he's already putting poison out there saying if he doesn't come back, he has not only damaged his career, but sabotaged a franchise. Now, it's always interesting how you have the Negro will always run his mouth and beat his chest against another black man. But when it came to the owner of the Suns, and again, all the facts ain't out there, but he says, I want to sit back and let the investigation go. But yet, when it came to Europeans, all of a sudden, we got to sit back and wait how things go for a black man. You're scoring them. It's simply amazing.
No, it's not amazing. It's just another day at the office.
That's right. It is just another day at the office, but this day just happens to affect more people than other days. Because, again, if somebody else on the Packers gets COVID, it will be directly or indirectly Aaron Rodgers' fault because he didn't take shit. And here's the other part. Because he was white, everybody's so incredulous at the fact. I mean, I heard Shannon Sharp, who I normally respect. Ew, Aaron Rodgers lied. Yeah, you motherfucking right, he lied. And nobody checked him because he was white. That was enough. And that big brother, he had caught all kinds of heat.
The precedent's already been set because, you know, Cam Newton allegedly didn't take the vaccine, and that's allegedly why doesn't have a job. I think we all know that it's There's other things going on here besides COVID.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, he had the audacity to try to get a second opinion.
Come on. That's right. And a second opinion is common sense if you have a medical issue with something. But even if we do this from the structure of what the league says, all right? Mm-hmm. Okay, you got a problem with what the team is doing. Who are you supposed to go to? Your shop steward. In this case, the player rep. Yeah, well, you go to your player rep. Your player rep is going to tell the administration, look, we got an issue with this, blah, blah, blah. He wants to try this Ayurvedic or whatever herbal shit. And can he get away with this? You know, it should be at least up to the scope.
Well, what he said yesterday, told me everything I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
When he said the press conference yesterday, he said everybody in agreement with anything to do about it. I don't believe that.
I don't believe that either. No.
All I'm saying here is that the premise is...
The current owner with the Phoenix Suns is happy that Aaron Rodgers is taking the heat right now. That's all I know.
No, Aaron Rodgers can't get a pass for this bullshit. What he did was deliberate. It's a yes or no fucking question. He said,
yes,
I'm immunized. I saw the video. He said it. And the fact that he was not immunized, that's akin to putting people's lives at risk. All kinds of sweat and bodily fluids can cause people to get ill.
What was the term he used, Mike, when they asked him? What did he say he was?
He said he was immunized. He said it. We couldn't get away from it.
A Freudian slip or a play on words.
But if he said he was immunized, and he tells the players that he's doing a different program, but somebody was like,
Well, Gary, this is why we're supposed to have press conferences. If he said he was immunized, the next question should have been, what'd you take? Did you take Moderna? Did you take Johnson & Johnson? You know, what did you take? But
Mike, here's my question. We got the HIPAA law and everything. Is the owl getting to tell what he took?
He can still take it. He can still answer it. If he plays like he wants to plead the fifth and shit, that may not answer the question, but it compounds the fact that he lied. So if he didn't want to incriminate himself, if he didn't want to incriminate himself, then he would not have said, I'm immunized. This goes right back to the beginning again. The fucking guy lied.
And to me, when he lied, it, in a sense, nullifies the whole privacy sort of thing. Because now everything is, I mean, it's akin to committing perjury here. Because see, again, you know, look, even if you just leave the politics out of it, which is what I think needs to be done, but see, even with that, it's the selfishness. You see, if you're gonna beat up Kyrie for being selfish, then you have to use that same beating stick for Rodgers, because if you weren't, see, contrary to popular belief, Kyrie's never lied about what he was talking about.
Exactly.
You know, there's a difference. Rodgers basically perpetrated a lie, and when someone dies from COVID in Green Bay, they should sue him for every penny
he got. Yep.
Motherfucking right.
It should be.
That's
it should,
right.
It, you know, and see,
get all the
difference there, and see that. See, again, throwing out the politics and whatever, he is basically, you know, he
in a sense, his having right now, him having COVID and the backlash of it, to me, is like manslaughter or negligent homicide. Negligent homicide.
Tony, you know and I know they will never do that because everybody's
but see, we say that
heroes get away with everything under the sun.
But see, here's the thing. Death will nullify all of that. Because
that's
when
right.
somebody, because if and when, we'll see. Cause see, I'm willing. You know, if it's just a story thing where just somebody just catches COVID, they probably won't be. But see, my thinking is there has to be. And look, I am not Matlock, Barnaby Jones, or I'm not a lawyer on radio, TV, or the internet. But I got comedy. No. I'm too skinny. I'm too skinny to be Perry Mason. but no. This is a common sense thing because what's been going on with the one common theme through all of this COVID stuff. And again, take away the politics from it. You don't even have to use the politics of it. This is common fucking sense. We're in pandemic. When you basically go out of your way to put other folks at harm, there is negligence. And I don't care.
That's
if
exactly
you're,
right.
Look, you've got people. Look, let's be clear here. There are people who are in a much higher social position. I mean, you've got doctors and nurses and other folks in the medical industry that don't want to get vaccinated.
That's right.
And
that's
again,
exactly right.
They're in the medical field, and you don't want to get vaccinated. You should lose your job. This shouldn't even be a question.
That's exactly right. Yep. What was that old saying about 50 million Frenchmen can't, or 50,000 Frenchmen can't be wrong? Well, 700 dead motherfuckers can't be wrong either. And the fact that
these people died
because of COVID.
I mean, you know, how much more, you know. How much more do you have to be convinced? People
exactly.
are dying out here, man. People are still dying out here.
That's right. Nothing's changed as far as folks. They didn't just all of a sudden stop dying, and everybody still ain't vaccinated. And there's reasons why people in certain parts of Canada and other parts of North America and everywhere else around the world are spouting noise about why they won't get vaccinated. And some of these concerns are actually legitimate. I know black people have claims about this shit. I don't blame them. Tuskegee, I would definitely be among that flock of folks. But when somebody asks you a question that's a yes or no question, and you fucking out and out lie about it, you've told your teammates that they ain't shit, that what matters to them ain't shit, because it's about you. And Aaron Rodgers, whatever he has done as far as accomplishments on the field, he bitched up big time. And his boy bitched up with him, because Stephen A. Smith, who would sit and rail against everything and scream this and scream that, he didn't say shit. He bitched up too. Maybe he couldn't talk because Aaron Rodgers' cock was so far in his mouth that he couldn't, he was gagging or something. All I know is Jay Williams, who really hasn't done much in terms of saying anything that meant anything. I mean, he's getting his check and ain't nobody mad at him. But even Jay Williams was checking him. And he told him straight up, you fucked up. But it didn't matter because Stephen A. Smith thinks he's above it too. He's one of those assholes who thinks like, well, I'm the head nigga in charge. Even in his own mind, he'll think that nonsense. And he'll try to check all the brothers and scream at them and gesticulate and threaten. But he ain't worth shit because his shit is exposed. He's blown up now. Jay Williams in a minute and 50 seconds said what a lot of people have been thinking that what the fuck you did was irresponsible. You know, you don't jump in Kyrie's ass or anybody else's black ass like that. And, of course, the fact that you didn't jump on Aaron Rodgers makes us suspect of you as a journalist, because we know you're getting paid, but what are you getting paid for? You've admitted to the world without saying so that you're a fucking shill. That all you do is you'll stir the pot, and as long as they're paying you, you don't mind being the clown because you're cashing clown checks. But you know what? You're going to want time to cash a 2021 check and get a 1960s ass whipping for it, because you've gone as far as you've gone. First of all, with kissing Paterno's ass, and then kissing Aaron Rodgers' ass. It's going to add up. And then when he tried to go out to Kwame Brown, Kwame, bless him, and his mama's cooking, jumped in his ass with both feet and told Stephen A. Smith, fuck off. ESPN has to know that he has no viability as a journalist. So the next question would be, why the fuck is he still on air?
Do we even have to ask that question? We already know. Already know.
Well,
you know,
exactly. Right. We know.
Yes. Yeah. And see, that's what makes it worse. Because see, again, he does exactly. And to be honest, you know, I'm actually just tired of this, you know, because again, what he's doing is not, you know, is not earth shattering. We realize that, you know, he's
right.
He's basically a skinnier version of Jason Whitlock with an afro. At this point,
he's taking over Jason Whitlock's place. See, Jason Whitlock was the driver of the seat. Now Stephen A is the driver, and they kick Whitlock off the bus.
Well, they'll still, but see, they have to have both of them, because see, there's gonna come a time when he's gonna where Stephen A is gonna try to get an invite to the cookout, and then they're gonna go against. Because see, again, remember, you have to remember, end of the day, the oldest trick in the book is to pit us against each other as well.
Yeah.
So there'll be another issue where it'll be racially charged. And they'll go off of each other. But see, you got to remember when Randy Moss basically got emotional about the I think it was about the Dirt Boy thing or something else, I forget.
Yeah.
You had this house nigga basically parodying him crying, which is, you know, again, the lowest kind of scum that you can ever go here. But again, that's where we're at here with media.
Yeah.
See, that's why it's incumbent upon us to do what we do. You know, again, and you know, I may say, you know, it goes back to, you know, how you guys, you know, began the show. We still uphold what Roland and other folks have done, and are still we are maintaining that excellence.
We say this for the record. There's no Twitter. We don't need to twit or tweet or whatever the fuck it is. Y'all know where the information is, and if you want it, you've seen people come and find it. But the bigger part of this is the gamblers. The gamblers are pissed at Aaron Rodgers because he fucked up their thing.
Yep.
You already know the NFL is making buku bucks, but they don't want it interfered with something as large as this. I repeat, in September, New Jersey bet over $1 billion. A billion in a month. And the season didn't start until the second week. So we know the cash is flowing. So now take Aaron Rodgers and his status, his celebrity, and his playing ability, and how all these cheeseheads would be welfare cheeseheads if they did not take him to task for the shit that he did. Now, Tony, we talked about this a long while ago, how odds shape everything. We used that Pittsburgh Steelers New York Jets situation as an example. And this is different, but in many ways it is similar. Rodgers has been a proven commodity. They expect him to perform at a certain level, and the expectation of that performance is supposed to equal a win. So now we've got him laid out here, or he would have been laid out here, against who are they playing? Is this a league game against the Bears? Is this a division game? So they're playing General Mahomes, and now because he's not in, Jordan Love will be playing, who is a field general in training. So it'll be a true field general matchup. But it's not because Aaron Rodgers wanted it that way. Because of COVID, he has to do a 10-day protocol, which means he can't play this week and he can't play next week. Now, if those two situations end up in Packers losses somehow, and Green Bay, I won't say misses the playoffs, because right now it seems highly likely that they would, but if they missed the playoffs, then a lot of people will put down money on Green Bay to make, because remember, it's not just Super Bowl odds. There's playoff odds, there's division odds, all these other things. They may be less, but it's because Green Bay's more expected to be there. This adds up into millions of dollars, guys. And Jake from State Farm ain't going to save his ass. Mm-hmm. Believe that shit. So now, based on what Kansas City does to Green Bay, if they beat them, okay, Rodgers, this is not like he broke his ankle on the field of play or some shit like that and he's on the injured reserve list. He's on the stupid list and the arrogant list for doing what he did. Everything he did screams white privilege with a touch of arrogance in being able to say what he said, and they let him off the hook because nobody challenged his ass. That's what the NFL caused. And again, where is your union guy, the invisible man, DeMora Smith, to even check him? The union guy should have been saying, what the fuck is up with you? You've put your fellow union brothers in jeopardy. And even though the NFL's players union is about as weak as used toilet paper, it's still a union. You still have responsibilities by officials to say, okay, guys, there's a certain protocol that we must maintain. And they didn't do that. So from a technical standpoint, anybody in the league could sue Aaron Rodgers if they've made contact with him and somehow gotten sick from him. They could sue him for every fucking dime, and we got a whole different way of looking at this. Gary, if this continues, because you were the one to say everything changes as soon as somebody dies from COVID.
Yep.
Now, you notice we haven't heard anything from the Virginia Union player yet and how their family is going about legally going after them. But we know this is going to be a big deal if somebody does get COVID and, God forbid, get so sick that they become, you know.
Well, the grievous. I was to average to the end. The Green Bay Packers organization knew about this. They did nothing. Green Bay administration knew about this. They did nothing. The Green Bay Packers player knew about this. They did nothing. I'm sorry. It's your fault because you didn't speak up.
Well, if you know, basically, they can go right down the line. They could sue Rodgers personally, the organization, and the National Football League, and I guess the Players Association as well. If you really want to pull a Nino Brown and get everybody. Everybody. Ahmad Rahman too. What the hell?
Hey, Tony, and Michael. Okay, think about this. Think about this. Now, you know all those guys, all those individuals, know somebody in the media, right? Do you think somebody would call the media and say, hey, take up for Aaron Rodgers? They didn't say boo. They didn't say boo.
Well, you know why? You know why, G? Because now we have to look at the media's role in this differently. Back in the day, journalists would ask questions. They weren't worrying about agendas, and they weren't worrying about whether or not this was going to ruffle somebody's feathers. Early on covering the league, we all experienced the reality that independent voices didn't have a place in the league because we couldn't check them. And that's why press credentials were becoming harder and harder to get. Let's tell the truth on that shit. And now we are at a point where anybody who's considered, hold on, anybody who was considered journalist covering the NFL was more an apologist protecting the team in whatever territory they were in and spouting off anything that they approved, not anything that would make them sit down and ask or answer real questions. And that's what we have here as well. Whoever the beat writer is for the Packers, you know, they lose any sleep behind this. He knew or she knew. So we're not surprised. Aaron Rodgers lied. It comes back to that. It don't change anything. The lie can't make itself the truth because it is what it is. And as long as it is that way, it's not going to deviate.
Okay. Let's play the game. What if? Okay. Three Bay Packers are in first place right now, correct?
That's right.
Okay, now all of a sudden you had three running backs with COVID-19. You had three linebackers with COVID-19. You had three wide receivers with COVID-19. Now what do you do? Because half the team has COVID-19. Meanwhile, you go into the game, you lose 2-3 games in a row. Now you're not getting out of playoffs. See, this whole thing is like a snowball. And it's gonna go bad real fast.
Well, it's not gonna go bad as fast as you think. Your scenario makes sense, G, but they ain't gonna let that white boy not get in. You know. And I'm with you with the reality that players can get sick from this, but the mouse ain't going to hold Aaron Rodgers' feet to the fire for it. If they say anything, it'll be unfortunate collateral damage of a situation. But do you think that ESPN is going to paint Aaron Rodgers as some sort of Typhoid Mary and getting people sick when he's positive for COVID? No. They'll say that we did our due diligence, we caught it in time. But that doesn't change the fact that Aaron Rodgers said publicly that he was immunized. Now, he could say he was immunized for chickenpox or some shit like that, and he could technically skirt around the answer, but it doesn't tell the truth. But he's saying he was immunized. It's bullshit. They know it's bullshit, and they can't clean up this bullshit. And that's why I've always said that ESPN is the only workplace where bullshit is a recyclable resource, and that includes Stephen A. Smith's garbage that his own colleague had to check him on national TV speaks volumes. This was why a lot of people left ESPN in the first place, or at least stopped watching it and shit. If you want gossip and all that stuff, yeah, I mean, they ain't no better than a fucking gossip show. You might as well be watching, what is it, those ladies to talk or whatever the fuck it is or whoever else it is on there, on the air, with Whoopi Goldberg and stuff. It ain't no different. It's no different. And then, of course, you got these motherfuckers who started out maybe as journalists but want to be personalities coming in and infecting this with their own rhetoric, you know, when they don't really know what the fuck they're talking about, because they're not answering journalist questions anymore because they don't think, well, they think being a journalist is beneath them now. And that's exactly what happened to Stephen A. Smith. He was a journalist. He became a personality, and now he's an asshole. And because he is, he's committing assholery in the first degree. So, where are we?
That's an interactive verb, my boy.
Exactly. So all of this added to the fact that the NFL was cruising. Everybody was making money. Nobody had nothing bad to say. Oh, you could get an occasional bad call that will screw up a game or something like that, but nobody was doing anything egregious to fuck with the money. You know, just like in Doom, the cash must flow. The cash is flowing. Now, you got a problem. This is a legit problem because it ain't going away whether Green Bay wins or not. You know, how could you be selfish and arrogant as to think that no matter what kind of health status you had, you could risk getting people sick? That's fucked up.
With white privilege, they don't care, Mike.
No, I know they don't care, Jay. I know they don't care. But because they don't care, they leave that attitude that whatever I say, whatever I do, I can get away with it. I'll talk my way out of it. If I can't do it, I'll get somebody else to do it for me. So the spin and the mindset of the spin is strongly in effect. You know, how dare you doubt me? I said I was immunized. You know, that's the attitude that's being carried through here. And nobody has the decency to say, you're fucked up. That's bullshit. You know, Aaron Rodgers, no matter what he does, and this is the thing that really burns my ass. See, the NFL writers and all these motherfuckers that vote for the Hall of Fame, they won't say shit about this 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's not going to stop him from being voted in on the first ballot. Yet Terrell Owens speaks up about legitimate shit, and they punish him because they don't like the guy. You know, and Tony, what you said years ago was so right. You know, if you don't like the guy, just say so. But that ain't got nothing to do with what the fuck he does on the fucking field.
And unfortunately, that you see, as you know me, I will always say if I'm not enamored with a guy, I'll let you know. But I will also allow. What he does on the field, because I'm not the biggest OJ Beckham Jr. fan personally.
Mm-hmm.
But I recognize the fact that he does have a modicum of talent. I think he's a little me personally. I think he's a little overrated. But again, that's another 2 hour story. But in that same vein, what was going on down in non-belief land was pretty clear. It was pretty clear that little boy blue or little Baker blue basically went to the office saying it's him or me, and
exactly
because of the reputation that Beckham has perpetuated over the last the majority of his career. He's not going to get
the Cleveland Browns have just sealed their fate. They just sealed their fate because you're rather be with Baker Mayfield and you be with OJB.
He knew that. Okay, yeah, it's me or the white guy. Who the fuck do you think the very conservative National Football League is going to take? You know, the flashy, somewhat diva-esque wide receiver or the white quarterback who makes stupid commercials? They're going to take the white guy. And they do.
Get paid for doing it, too.
Yeah, and this is one reason why Cleveland is referred to as the mistake by the motherfucking lake. You know, clearly their mindset is in a whole total direction that's not in tune with making sense in the real world. Okay, so now you got your very average white guy. He's your quarterback. You think he's going to lead you to championships, and unless the league is really as rigged as we believe it is, that's going to take some time before he even gets a sniff close to that bullshit. Having said that, we get back to the fact that Rodgers and the people who follow him put lots of money behind him. They believe if they bet on this guy, they're going to win. But we've seen the odds change on everybody. I can't tell you, as covering horse racing, how many times I've seen a 1-9 prohibitive favorite lose. So it happens. We know it happens. It may not happen as often, but we know it happens. And Rodgers, he may be a favorite in the minds of some because these cheeseheads believe in his ass. But when you're exposed like that, it changes everything. A lie is still a lie. Whether it's a white one or a non-white one, it's still a lie. He said he was immunized. They taped him. And now, what you got to show for it? You're going to be off, or you're going to be on the sidelines for 10 days. It may not happen, but Gary's scenario is right. If they lose those two games, they may screw themselves out of a playoff spot, but it's unlikely to happen. I think Jordan Love is quite capable. And matter of fact, so does the Packers management, because they went into all of this shit about him last year as to whether or not, when they drafted him, he would be the one suitable to replace Aaron Rodgers. And remember, Rodgers went through this years ago with Brett Favre, when Favre said, I ain't teaching that motherfucker how to take my job. He basically said that, whether he was in his Wrangler jeans or not, I don't give a fuck, but he said that. And it took Aaron Rodgers, what, 3 seasons before he got into the flow and took over the team? You know, you didn't hear anybody from ESPN criticizing Favre for that, did they? No.
And so, now basically history is repeating itself. And basically history is repeating itself now. And see if there's any if there's any karma, Jordan Love, you know, goes off the next few days. I'm thinking at the very least, he has a great game against Kansas City. And possibly whoever they play next, in case Rodgers has to miss again. But see, that's the thing here. Isn't it interesting that he's going up against two black quarterbacks as well in this?
Yeah, about that. Well, we know it's an interesting situation that they're not going to sit on. Something will have to be done because it's in their face. It's not like it's going to be behind people's backs and stuff like that. But because it's right in their face, they will have to direct. Let's look at the other side of this. Let's look at Patrick Mahomes, who's going to be playing and starting against Jordan Love regarding the field generals. And Patrick has caught a little bit of heat himself. Not himself personally, but in his circle. He's had family members doing stupid shit because they want attention. And I believe his Lady Love is in the mix with all of that stuff. So because of their actions, it has distracted Patrick to some degree. It has to, because Patrick has been playing okay, but he's not been playing as well as he's been playing. Since he came into the league, they've scored more than 30 points about 45 times. And 2 weeks ago, he was relegated to a field goal. Now, the Kansas City Chiefs, they'd score a field goal on their first drive a lot of times. So the fact that they were reduced to 3 points, yeah, you could say the line's not as good or whatever it was. But basically, Patrick's making mistakes that some people thought he'd be making in his rookie season. Where you guys, how you assess this, guys?
Well, they've taken a huge step back. Well, maybe more mm-hmm. so the defense, but I think it's a total look. I even wrote it. Monday mm-hmm. night's game, in many ways, was worse than putting up the 3 points against Tennessee. Because they could, I mean, you know, as much as you know, the Giants outplayed them. The Giants clearly outplayed them.
They did.
I mean, it wasn't like they mm-hmm. and in many ways, this was worse. You know, a lot of bad reads. You know what else?
Mm-hmm.
But to say the crazy thing is, they can still right the ship because there's still 80 weeks left in the season, but and because no one else in that division have they played Vegas yet? I don't think they've played Vegas yet, right?
No, twice.
They have. They have. No, I'm saying they haven't played them as of yet this year. So basically, you know, Denver's 4-4, San Diego sort of, you know, everybody was sort of thinking
San Diego's 4-4, Kansas City's 4-4. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, but see, you know, San Diego, if it should come down to them in San Diego gets in because of the head-to-head as of right now. But again, we still have 150 weeks left in this, you know, biggest season ever. But the thing is, they've got to right the ship soon because historically, Super Bowl losers, it doesn't fare very well that next season. It does not fare well.
I think only three has been well returned.
Well, the only teams that I know, the year after the Titans lost to the Rams, they got knocked out in the first round, and of course, you know, the Niners. When the Niners tried to three-peat, they lost in the NFC Championship game without allowing an offensive touchdown. So historically, you know, they need to step it up. They definitely need to step it up because right now they're just a shell of what they were.
Very difficult to repeat because other teams free agents to add to their team.
Well, they added.
Super Bowl team loses their coach, loses at least one coach per year.
But Garrett, they added two. You know, they let some guys go, but they did add free agents. They added free agents for both sides of the line, so that's not a factor. They didn't lose any coaches because they still have the majority of coaches, and of course it's getting later season. And I know that there's still a long, long way to go, but this is not something where you want to just flip a switch and be. You know, they've got some. You know, I mean, it's they got some explaining to do, but they've also got some playing they got to do too.
Yeah,
that's right. Mm-hmm. Yes. Actually, on the flip side of this, I'm looking forward to see Jordan Love because Love came from, well, for all intents a mid-major with being Utah State, although they're Division I. You know, they're not recognized as any major football power. And the fact that he's going to go out there and ball, Green Bay believes that he has something already, and we'll find out whether he does or not on Sunday. But given the overall assessment of the field generals, gentlemen, as we come to the midway point of the season, Tony, what have you seen that you've liked, and what have you seen that you haven't liked?
Well, regarding just the field generals, you know, I have not, you know, there's been a lot of positive in regard. Mm-hmm. I hate the fact that basically, you know what I hate the fact the most is that two of them who are legitimate, who can legitimately play, are not being allowed to play for whatever reason, whether it be legal or whatever. That's, of course, you know, Deshaun and Cam. Let's put it this way. I definitely like the future where this is headed with Fields, with the guy in San Fran. But see, again, unfortunately, but see, it's crazy. It's crazy because see, it's the same thing all over again. In regards to they won't allow. I mean, the Bears game is a perfect example. Now Matt Nagy did not coach last week, so all of a sudden, the Bears offense was had at least reached up to 1985 standards. Unfortunately, the defense went back to 1970 standards, and they allowed Gary's favorite porn star Jimmy Garoppolo to look like Joe Montana last week.
Right.
So yeah, it's nuts. It's a little crazy. But I like the future. And look, the guys that have been establishing themselves, like Russell before he got hurt, and even Mahomes, even in his mediocrity this year, struggling because again they won't allow him to go deep. They don't really have after Judy. They don't really have that many folks that can go deep.
No. Well, he's at this point, he seems to have developed a rapport with Courtland Sutton, and I think Tim Patrick might get an all-pro selection because of how Denver's using him, you know, at tight end. But you're right. He really doesn't go deep a lot, and it's only been from weeks 3 to 7 that we've seen him become more aggressive and throw more. And this is all in highlight packages because I haven't seen full Denver Broncos games. But we've seen him do it a lot where he's throwing beyond 20 yards to try to hit somebody in a deep seam pattern or down the sideline and stuff. So
they don't have a deep threat, which is the big unknown. Now they can run the ball, you know, getting gored. But they don't, you know, it's always funny to me, well, he doesn't go deep. Well, does he have receivers that go deep?
No.
Yeah, no. Good point.
You won't say that because he was a white quarterback. You won't say that. You'll just say, well, his receivers are unable to get deep. But with a black quarterback, he can't go deep. Well, wait a minute. If they both have non-game-breaking receivers, why are you telling me that one can't go deep and the other can go deep, but he doesn't have the it has to be consistent. And again, it goes back to the reason why we do the field general thing.
Tony, you know what they would say. You do it for Randolph Scott. That's exactly right. Yes, but Gary, what's your assessment of the field generals as we get to the midway point here?
Well, the NFL has a quarter system. I still believe they have a quarter system.
Okay.
And that quarter number is 12. And that's why I believe that Deshaun Watson and Cam Newton are not playing because of that quarter system. If Deshaun Watson and Cam Newton would be on board at 13, they can't have that. They got a problem because you got 3-4 young quarterbacks coming up right now. One in San Francisco. One in Arizona.
Yep.
One in Chicago and one in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Can't have the Next year, watch out. We're going to go take over the league.
Well, that's a good point to bring up because next year, I mean, do we see any major quarterbacks coming up on the horizon? Are there enough white faces to make the NFL think that they got a shot with this?
Mike, they'll make sure
that they have enough.
Oh, yeah.
I know they've been high on the guy from Pittsburgh. There's a couple of others. But see, they have no, you know, perfect example is Wentz and the kid out in Detroit. They were supposed to be generational quarterbacks. Unfortunately,
that's
it's
right.
From the bullshit generation, but you know. But that's the thing. There are kids in the HBCUs that can clearly get a chance. Again, it's about being given a chance. The problem,
that's true.
The problem most of the time is usually that they're not given the same opportunity. And therein lies the rub. Are they going to be given the same similar opportunity?
They cannot deny those four brothers I just mentioned. They can't deny them.
Unfortunately, they already have. Yeah.
That's right.
What you're saying now, we've been saying for years, and they still even if every eligible guy played, they're still whatever. I brought it up this week, with Tua. Now, Tua has been up and down. There's no doubt about it. Matter of fact, his record is reflective as such. He's 7-7.
Mm-hmm.
But people are already saying he's a bust after his second year.
Yep.
They're saying he's a bust. Now, again, what kind of weapons do they have? You have to look at the overall thing. Because, see, the very same people who will tell you that Tua is a bust 2 years in his career.
Come on.
Are still trying to make excuses for Carson Wentz. They're still trying to make excuses for but I'm just saying. They're still making excuses for those two guys that went 1-2.
Now,
they went to the Super Bowl. But it's safe to say that neither one of them guys, can play at the very, very, very least. And they've been given opportunities now with two different teams. And
I can hear
somebody saying now, well, look at what happened Thursday night. You were playing a CYO team. Come on. Are we really, by the way, so much for taking Cincinnati saying that
they play Cleveland Sunday too, which is going to be interesting. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's yeah. I mean, that's that on the surface that looks. I mean, and I actually like Burrow. I actually like Burrow, but on the surface, that could be an Esther special come Sunday.
That's right. If we look at the matchups that we've got, Cleveland and Cincinnati, again, I like Joe Burrow too, Tony, but we know Baker Mayfield is overblown and overhyped and shit, and that he needs the running game to save his ass in terms of whether or not they're effective. Now, Jameis was 5-2 when he got hurt, and they'll forget about his black ass too because New Orleans wins with Simeon or Taysom Hill. Yeah, they'll say, we did Jameis a favor, but Jameis may have cut his own cloth and decided that whatever New Orleans does, he's never going to gain favor as their man. They'll find an excuse to make somebody else the starting quarterback. Dallas will be playing against Denver, so General Bridgewater and General Prescott will have at it. But again, in the back of Jerry Jones's mind, he's mad that this nigga is running his motherfucking team, and there's nothing he can do about it because the time where he could have done something is gone. So he'll just have to grin and bear it as Dak Prescott plays well. New England and Carolina, Minnesota and Baltimore. So Mr. Jackson goes back to work. Can he handle business? They're at home. So we expect Mr. Jackson to get back to work and take care of business and beat Kirk Cousins' overblown, overhyped ass. Buffalo and Jacksonville, that's pretty much going to be a walkover, it seems, given what's happened in Jacksonville and given how Jacksonville's been playing. Now, Houston and Miami, you just talked about Tua. If Tyrod Taylor is back, it'll be interesting to see how he would have played with all the loose parts that they had picked up on waiver wires and claimed and stuff. Las Vegas and the Giants. Now, ironically, we know that Daniel Jones or Jones, whatever the fuck his first name is for the Giants, he's Elvis. He is the white version of a dual-threat quarterback. So they don't mind seeing a white guy run all over the place and shit and run for his life and get yards. But if he's black, the Giants ain't having that shit. Of course, the Chargers in Philly, it's going to be one of those toss-up games. Philly can put themselves in a decent position if they win, but the Chargers have a much better team. I say much better, even if Philly runs the ball.
By the way, Mike, I wanted to ask you this earlier. Almost got the I'm just curious. You almost got the feeling that the local media was mad. Well, not mad, but they were sort of – I think the local media wanted to see Detroit beat the Eagles.
They did. So no, you're right.
Yeah,
they did.
And the fact that they not only beat them, but they buried them, it was sort of like the attitude was sort of like, oh, damn, he's still going to get a chance to start.
That's right. They want to see the white boy, Gardner Minshew. And I actually like Gardner, but
exactly.
This is politics. This is all politics.
And see, therein lies a lot of the craziness because, like I said, the kid out in San Diego, I hate the way he got the job. But the kid can play. He looks like he's going to be all right.
Justin Herbert can play. I got no beef with that.
I like Burrow. I still don't think whatever with him, but I genuinely like him. I go back and forth with Lawrence. To me, he is going to be given all sorts of latitude and what have you.
Yep.
Crazy about his game, but I guess, again, but he's going to be able to see. The thing is, he's going to be given all the rope that he can handle.
That's
to whatever.
That's exactly right.
And see, there are other white, the kid that played for the Jets Sunday.
That's
a nice story, literally going up. But then I the sad thing is, I completely forgot about Josh Johnson because he was buried on the third year. He's buried on the depth chart there, and again,
that's right.
I'm not sure. I don't think Wilson's going to be good. They can talk up with. I think Wilson is another Wentz waiting to happen.
I agree because
a lot of these BYU quarterbacks come into the league, and it's when you're playing against defenses that can't play anyway, it makes you look whatever. Now look, McMahon.
Exactly.
Steve Young, other guy, those are the two BYU guys.
Oh, who was that other motherfucker? Giffen Nielsen. They actually
Gifford
took
Nielsen,
him over Warren Moon. I couldn't believe that shit. Yeah, so they've been consistent.
Sure.
Those motherfuckers ain't shit. Yes, all of them.
Mm-hmm. With the exception, the exception being McMahon and Young, but the rest of these guys, Robbie Bosco, Ty Detmer. All these guys. It's
Corey
the same
Detmer.
All of them. It's the same. It's the same. And to me, I see the same thing with Wilson but because he's New York, and they are literally they're trying to sell you an image instead of selling you the football player.
Well, that's the problem. The Jets have done this for years, and they would rather sell you the sizzle rather than cook the steak. And they've been doing this for a long time. They know what their fan base looks like. They know what their fan base acts like. So they're trying to get people to support, to appease them instead of people who can actually play. And anybody who can play, they usually leave or they get wasted there. And the Jets haven't changed. Woody Johnson still owns the team. He's still conservative as a motherfucker. He's one of the eight who contributed to Donald Trump's campaign. And remember, Trump tried to tell him to backdoor something for him so he could get the British Open on one of his resorts out there in Scotland. But it wasn't oatmeal, motherfucker. And so you didn't get your shot. But that's the type of people we're dealing with here. This is not business for him. Like, love or hate the Rooneys. You can say the Rooneys run a business. How they do what they do. Low turnover. They pick people who they think are eminently qualified. And you see the proof in the pudding. Pittsburgh's always in it. You know, and thanks to Tomlin, they win. And thanks to the players they choose, they win. But an owner like Johnson, who was able to buy his way in, they don't give a fuck. They know, better or worse, the masochist who owns his Jets fans will be out there doing the Jets.
In many ways, he's old school mixed with new school in the sense of the football is not his main priority. It's you know, they're going to do just enough. They're going to do just enough so people can't say he's fucking with the product. But I mean, only you know, if it's his way, he's not going to try to win the salary cap Super Bowl like your boy in Philly. But he's not going to go out of this way, because remember, they let a bunch of guys go along the way here. You know, Jamal, you know, on that defense, which is what their strength was for the longest time, even in the bad years. And now,
and Todd Bowles have put that together, but he's not dead either.
Exactly. And it's funny, you know, as much as we talk about the enemy, and rightfully so, if they fix this again for Tampa to win, then basically Todd Bowles and Byron Leftwich should be head coaches by next year.
Head coaches. That's exactly right.
But they won't. They won't.
They won't talk about it.
I got the exit
stage
left.
All right, give us your preview, G. What's up at the top of the hour?
You go ahead, Snagglepuss.
Yeah, exit stage left. We're going to continue the Aaron Rodgers. And we know Aaron Rodgers comes from the University of California at Berkeley. So.
That's right. Actually, he's from New York City. That's Frank Serfico, but I can't prove
okay,
it.
Okay. Also, my boys, coming to Illinois, I can echo this.
It's nice to hear the Princeton fight song again. Princeton, rock.
Well, that's good stuff, G.
13-13 tie. I'm a Missouri State right now.
are you able to watch the game? Are you able?
They're out.
Are you able to watch the game, G?
No.
Ooh.
They're playing
in Florida. Doesn't the Valley have a contract with the Mouse?
Yeah, but only in the Midwest.
No, well, if they're on Illinois,
Missouri, North Dakota.
Excuse me. Aren't they on that ESPN Plus thing? ESPN Plus is for everybody. Because look,
can you get on the internet?
You should ESPN Plus. Yeah, it's basically like, look, ESPN Plus gives you all that hockey. They give you you get the HBCU folks, but see, you also like, you know.
Okay.
I swear they had, you know, while you're talking, you know, while we're on the air, I'm going to look at it. They're playing today, right?
Yeah, they're playing right now. It's the third quarter. Third quarter.
Okay.
All right. Well,
I'll go on ESPN Plus and see.
Well, at the top of the hour again,
well,
Gary Norris Gray and David Picot.
Rooping my dogs.
Well, let's hope the dogs get their day. So, guys, we'll see you at the top of the hour. T, any last words regarding all of this stuff? Because I know we're going to hear the bullshit once this Aaron Rodgers thing continues to spill out. Are you more annoyed with the fact that this continues on after years of this shit? Or are you more annoyed at the fact that they wanted to literally dismiss it and pretend that it didn't happen, and they'll protect Stephen A. Smith for being one of these motherfuckers and not being a journalist, as opposed to Aaron simply just lying about it and not checking him on it?
All of the above.
Mm.
All of the above, because I think it's all, because see, again, I know for some folks, is a little tough, but no, take the politics out of it and just look at it just on a pandemic level. He is, you know, like you said, he's basically said, F you, I should be able to, you know.
That's exactly what he said. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's exactly what he said. And we can't ignore that. And again, at the top of the hour, we will further speak on that with Gary Norris Gray and Grayla Picot. But for now, I got to take some sinus medication because my head is about to explode. So I'm going to get on the cold train and get out of here. Again, we'll see you at the top of the hour, 646-727-3649, 646-727-3649. Gary Norris Gray and Grayla Picot will return. T, I will see you there. For everybody else, if you're traveling, please go safe, stay safe, be safe. Once you get from A to B and back to A-OK, wash your hands, wash your ass. I don't need you smelling like wild onions and ass gravy with a side of toe jam. Get your ass a drink of water and wear masks where applicable. See you there.
That comes from Namibia and Malawi. There's a train that comes from Zambia and Zimbabwe. There's a train that comes from Angola and Mozambique.
from Lesotho, from Botswana, from Swaziland, from all the hinterlands of southern and central Africa. This train carries young and old African men who are conscripted to come and work on contract in the gold and mineral mines of Johannesburg and its surrounding metropoli. 16 hours or more a day for almost no pay. Deep, deep, deep down in the belly of the earth, when they are digging and drilling for that shiny, mighty, evasive stone, or when they dish that mishmash mush food into their iron plates with the iron shovel, or when they sit in their stinky, funky, filthy, flea-ridden barracks and hostels, they think about the loved ones they may never see again because they might already have been forcibly removed from where they last left them, or wantonly murdered in the dead of night by roving and marauding gangs of no particular origin. We are told to think about their lands and their herds that were taken away from them with the gun and the bomb and the tear gas and the Gatling and the cannon. And when they hear that choo-choo train, a chatting and a pumping and a smoking and a pushing and a pumping, crying and a steaming and a chicken and a they always cuss and they curse the coal train. The coal train that brought them to Johannesburg. manga malase Sivele tala kupagi Sangela tawa kuta Hey mabe, what is this Ubamanase Ubamanase Simela Sihalanga malate Simela tala kupa Halele sangela tawa kuta Hey mabe, what is this
Temperature
test. I'm gonna be impacted by my sunburn.
Oh, I don't think so. I've got better people to ask.
Or you may sit in any of the black chairs that are on the lawn.
Cool.
The high tops or the.
I hope you all can hear me. Will you guys shut the fuck up? I'm just kidding. That's my family in the back. That's why I did that. Children and stuff. Anyway, this is weird and less than ideal circumstances to do a show. But the only way to figure out if the shit will actually work is to do the goddamn show. So thank you all for coming. I want to shout out all the young people who have had the courage to go out and do all this amazing work protesting. I'm very proud of you. These kids are excellent drivers. I am comfortable in the back seat of the car. So carry on, young ones. It's hard to figure out what to say about George Floyd, so I'm not going to say it yet. I'll say something. Are you guys having a good time or is this weird? I got to tell you, this is actually like the first concert in North America since all this shit happened. So, like it or not, it's history. It's going to be in the books. At least we tried. There's other comedians who would, well, this is not the first show, but the other shows were like in drive-ins, and if people liked the niggas' jokes, they'd honk the horn. Didn't sound like any fun at all, did it? So what's you guys? You a black and white friend hanging out? Do you guys know each other? It's going to be a quiet car ride home, isn't it? That's good. I'm just kidding. Enjoy your riots. I'm just kidding. They're not really even riots. Have you noticed that? This is a fucking weird time. In like 1993, I'm not sure what year it was, but I was in L.A. I had smoked a joint, and I was watching the movie Apocalypse Now. It was like just after 4 o'clock in the morning. And what later would become the known the Northridge earthquake happened. It felt like it started in my apartment. You know, I'm from east of the Mississippi. On this side, we don't know what earthquakes are about. I got to tell you something, man. Excuse me for burping. This shit was terrifying. It was absolutely terrifying. A lot of things went through my mind. I was like, not naked, but you know what I mean? Just chilling in my boxes. I put my clothes on. I found my weed and some a pipe and a lighter and some money and my keys, all these things. And while the earthquake is happening, while I'm experiencing what an earthquake is the first time, and I was certain that I might very possibly die. As a matter of fact, I remember I made a point not to scream just in case I lived. I wouldn't have to remember myself being vocally terrified. But I forgave myself for being terrified. That earthquake couldn't have been more than 35 seconds. This man kneeled on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. Can you imagine that? Kid thought he was going to die. He knew he was going to die. He called for his mother. He called for his dead mother. I've only seen that once before in my life. My father, on his deathbed, called for his grandmother. When I watched that tape, I understood this man knew he was going to die. People watched it. People filmed it. And for some reason that I still don't understand, all these fucking police had their hands in their pockets. Who are you talking to? What are you signifying that you can kneel on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds and feel like you wouldn't get the wrath of God? That's what is happening right now. It's not for a single cop. It's for all of it. Fucking all of it. I don't mean to get heavy, but we gotta say something. He told the police he couldn't breathe. One of the hardest parts of the tape to listen to, he said, please, I can't tell you. As a man, watching another man go through something like that, what it makes you feel like. I didn't watch the tape for a week. I didn't watch it. I knew. I saw a still picture. I said, I don't want to see this because I can't unsee it. But when I finally watched it, I understood nobody's going home. Anyone who sees this, well, they're going to be furious. Oh. So the other night, I'm in my little clubhouse, and I'm watching Don Lemon, that hotbed of reality. He says, where are all these celebrities? Why aren't you talking? This nigga said everybody. I was screaming at the TV. I dare you to say me, nigga. I dare you. Has anyone ever listened to me do comedy? Have I not ever said anything about these things before? So now all of a sudden, this nigga expects me to step in front of the streets and talk over the work these people are doing as a celebrity. Ask me, do you want to see a celebrity right now? Do we give a fuck what Ja Rule thinks? Does it matter about celebrity? No. This is the streets talking for themselves. They don't need me right now. I kept my mouth shut. And I'll still keep my mouth shut. But don't think that my silence is complicit of all the shit these niggas are saying, trying to get everyone to sing these fucking songs. I know all these songs. I was raised on these songs. Why would anyone care what their favorite comedian thinks after they saw a police officer kneel on a man's neck for 8 minutes and 46 seconds? I can't get that number out of my head because it was my time of birth on my birth certificate. I was born at 8:46 in the morning, and they killed this nigga in 8 minutes and 46 seconds. I watch everything everybody says. I've seen Candace Owens try to convince white America, don't worry about it, he's a criminal anyway. I don't give a fuck what this nigga did. I don't care what this nigga did. I don't care if he personally kick Candace Owens in her stinky pussy. I don't know if it stinks, but I imagine it does. And if I ever find out, I'll let you know for sure. I'll tell like Azealia Banks, I'll tell. I'm the worst. But I know why. I figured out why they want to hear from me, and it's serious. The only reason people want to hear from people like me is because you trust me. You don't expect me to be perfect. But I don't lie to you. I'm just a guy. And I don't lie to you. And every institution that we trust lies to us. How come they never talk about Chris Dorner? That's a story about a man who believed he did everything right. Do you know who Chris Dorner is? Well, Chris Dorner, if you remember, was an African-American police officer in the LAPD. He was executing a warrant with his partner, who was a white woman. And white women, I support you, but boy, if y'all don't shut the fuck up. during the process of executing this warrant, this white woman did what Chris Dorner thought was excessive force. I don't know what she did. She kicked the motherfucker that was handcuffed or hit a guy that was handcuffed or something. But Chris Dorner, the black police officer who watched this white woman do this, reported this to his superior, made a formal complaint, and was subsequently fired from the LAPD. He went through the system. He took every legal avenue that he believed he had to get reinstated, and he was not reinstated. And when his last appeal was finished, this motherfucker, some wild shit, wrote a manifesto. You know where this is going. And in that manifesto, he called me a genius. Me, Dave Chappelle. Not just me, but me. He said, Kevin Hart fan too. But he called me a genius, and he told Bradley Cooper, who's a friend of mine, don't do any more hangovers, nigga. That's enough. That's what he said. And he told his story. Chris Dorner told his story, how he did everything right when he was in the military and subsequently everything else. This is before any of this shit happened. And then he said, which was the wildest thing, he said, I'm going to wage asymmetrical war on the L.A. Police Department and their families. What's an ominous thing to say? And he did it. This motherfucker ambushed two police officers who were just sitting in their squad car, murdered them. He went to another police officer's house and killed his daughter. Boy, it was terrifying. And this motherfucker was on the run. He was doing it. I was supposed to do the Grammys. I was supposed to present at the Grammys that week, and a guy from the LAPD called me and said, Mr. Chappelle, we understand you're coming to Los Angeles, and I don't know if you know, but there is a lunatic on the streets who is killing police officers, and we would like to know if we can pick you up at the airport. We're extending this courtesy to everyone he mentioned in his manifesto. And I told the police, I'm fine. I read the manifesto. He likes me. Is there anything I can do for you, nigga? Because I'd be very worried. They found him. Big Bear, he was hiding in a cabin. When they figured out what this nigga was, no less than 400 police officers showed up and answered the call. And boy, let me tell you something. They Swiss cheese this nigga. He is as dead could be. He is done. And you know why 400 cops showed up? Because one of their own was murdered. So how the fuck can they understand what's going on in these streets? We saw ourselves like you see yourself. It wasn't the only one. LeBron James once said something about racism, and Laura Ingraham, which I will say publicly anywhere, anytime, is a cunt. Tell him I said it. Told one of Ohio's greatest residents ever, shut up and dribble. Tell you something about LeBron. This nigga was on the cover of Sports Illustrated when he was 17 years old and exceeded every expectation that they had for him. This business is treacherous. This is a good guy, LeBron. He's a family man and this, that, and the other. He didn't let anyone down. He didn't let anyone down. Came back to Ohio, won us a championship, and was like, I'm going to move to L.A. And everyone in Ohio was like, nigga, we understand. It's a good man, LeBron James. This bitch told my friend to shut up and dribble. My friend is the best at something, and this bitch is not the best at anything. She's a regular-ass white bitch with a platform. And I use the word bitch all the time because it's black. You watch one shooting after another. Eric Garner in New York, first guy that told the police, I can't breathe. Eric Garner was selling loose cigarettes in Staten Island When my kid was born, my first son, my wife lived on Staten Island. It's an awful place. She knows it. Everyone who's ever been there knows it. Yuck to Staten Island. And my black ass will go there, and I got a lot of fans there and friends there, but it's a very terrible place. Fuck everybody in Staten Island except the Wu-Tang Clan. Got murdered by one police officer while five of his fellow officers watched him do it. Not one of them said, Frank, take it easy, none of that shit, because they were being recorded. Because they were afraid if I correct my fellow officer on this camera, it's going to open us up for some kind of liability. And the guy killed the person that they were apprehending? A guy was selling loose cigarettes. There goes Eric Garner. And then we have one after the other. Trayvon Martin gets murdered by just a regular nigga that George Zimmerman is nobody. George Zimmerman is an awful human being. Threatened Beyonce's life. He threatened Jay-Z's life. He signed Skittle bags because Trayvon Martin had Skittles on him when he was murdered by George Zimmerman. Boy, how do we feel? How do we feel right now? This kid was 15 years old being followed by a grown man with a gun and whooped his monkey ass. He beat the shit out of George Zimmerman, and George Zimmerman murdered him. We were very upset. This kid looked eerily like the president. He looked like my own children. I hate George Zimmerman as an idea, not as a guy. I've never met him. I'm sure I would, though. Hit the streets. We got them marching. Dylan Roof killed 8 people in a church in Charleston, South Carolina. He prayed with them first, and then he shot them at point-blank range. Goes on and on. And then one weekend, a law-abiding citizen right here in Beaver Creek gets murdered. The cop that murdered John Crawford pulled me over the night before and let me off with a warning. And the next day, kills a kid. He says, drop the weapon, bang, bang, bang. This kid didn't even have enough time to register that he was the one being spoke to. This is our hometown. It happened right here. I was very proud to be your neighbor. I love the way you guys hit those streets. He said his name and tried to make sure everyone remembered him, but he got lost in the sauce. And this guy, John Crawford, was a saint. He was there buying shit so him and his kids could make s'mores. But Michael Brown got shot the same week, and Michael Brown became the story. And then, am I boring you? Well, then, right back in Minneapolis, there's Philando Castile, a law-abiding citizen, who was a registered gun carrier, who was trying to show the police the paperwork for his registered weapon and was murdered in front of his wife and his child. And then, right in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, just 2 days later, it happens again. And what do you think's going to happen? 3 days later, 9 cops get murdered in Dallas at a Black Lives Matter rally. Wow, I'll never forget it. It was the first time I ever thought, I got to get my family the fuck out of this place. These niggas will never understand. I'm tired of explaining to these people something that's so goddamn obvious. The guy that killed those 9 cops, just like Chris Dorner before him, was from our military. And then right after he did it, another 4 cops were shot dead in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Again, a black man that served in our military. What are they doing? Why would our guys do that? Black people from the military? Because they believe, just like they did when they were joining the fucking military, that they were fighting acts of terror. These are our people. These are our countrymen. If I were white and saw one of these men get murdered and I was in the NRA, why wouldn't I stand up for them? A card-carrying legal gun owner that gets murdered in cold blood because he's black. That's why they don't give a fuck. There's only one time the NRA ever supported an assault weapon ban. You know when it was? It was when the Black Panthers stormed the state capitol with assault rifles in California. Candace Owen. That rotten bitch. She's the worst. I can't think of a worse way to make money. She's the most articulate idiot I've ever seen in my fucking life. She's so articulate, she can tell you how fucking stupid she is precisely. And she told George Floyd's rap record on the internet, oh, he was this, he did that, and he's a drug addict, and he's not a hero, and why does the black community make him a hero? Why do you choose him as a hero? We didn't choose him, you did. They killed him, and that wasn't right. So he's the guy. We're not desperate for heroes in the black community. Any nigga that survives this nightmare is my goddamned hero. This is not funny at all. I got some pussy jokes too I could do, but I just really just... Slavery is a really wild concept. It's some weird shit. The night that those 9 police officers were killed felt like the end of the world. And the only reason that it wasn't the end of the world, in my opinion, is because at the very same time that was happening, Kobe Bryant was playing his last game as an L.A. Laker. And as scary as all that shit was, I kept flipping back to see if Kobe would drop 60. And he did. Oh, and he did. And vaguely in the back of my mind, I remember the idiot-ass bitch telling somebody to shut up and dribble. And I watched this nigga dribbling and saving this goddamn country from itself. I loved Kobe Bryant. He died the day I won a Grammy. He died. That's why I didn't show up at the Grammys, because Kobe died. They had both of his fucking jersey numbers hanging up, 824. Well, that's my birthday. I cried like a baby. So here's what I said on Saturday Night Live that I got completely wrong. At the end of my set, I talked about how few black people were invited to the White House, how Frederick Douglass was the first, and that it didn't happen again till Roosevelt. But that was wrong. It happened one other time before that. Woodrow Wilson. Woodrow Wilson received a delegation of African Americans at the White House. They were from South Carolina. There was a man who was lynched for a $30 dispute at a grain elevator. And they killed him because the nigga was rich. And they hated him for being more wealthy than they were. And they murdered him. And the people in South Carolina said, fuck that. And they went via the governor of South Carolina. It was a black delegation that was facilitated to meet with Woodrow Wilson. That delegation was led by the AME bishop, William David Chappelle. It's where I get my name. It was my great-grandfather, who was a slave when he was born. These things are not old. This is not a long time ago. It's today. It's today. That man's wife was the woman that my father called on his deathbed. And they were slaves. Are you out of your fucking mind if you can't see that? And these niggas say, why isn't David Chappelle saying anything? Because David Chappelle understands what the fuck he is seeing. And these streets will speak for themselves whether I'm alive or dead. I trust you guys. I love you guys. We'll keep this space open. This is the last stronghold for civil discourse. After this shit, it's just rat-a-tat, tat-a-tat, tat-tat, tat-tat. I love you very much. Thank you for being here. Good night.
Hey, you want to hear a good joke? Nobody speak, nobody get jokes.
Whatever you want. So, sadly, that's what we have.